writes in Pirkei Avos that Hakina v'hatava v'hakavod motziim es ha'adam in olam. There are three items that the Mishnah says that will, God forbid, take a person out of this world. One is kina, jealousy, envy. One is taiva, desire. And the third is kavod, honor. In our parsha, we find examples of each of these three items. The Torah tells us, in a interruption of the continuity of the sale of Yosef, we have the story of Yehuda and Tamar. And one segment of that story, of course, is what happened. The Torah says that Yehuda meets the daughter of an Ish Kanani, Ushmo Shua, Vayikachah Vayavo Eleha. And then we have a series of children that are born. Er, and then we have Onan, and the third child, Shelah. Three children are born. And then the Torah describes what happened, the tragedy of what occurred. Vayikach Yehuda Isha le'er Bechora Ushma Tamar. Yehuda takes a wife for his Bechor, heir. Her name was Tamar. Vayi er Bechor Yehuda Rabbeini Hashem Vayimiseyu Hashem. Torah does not tell us exactly what the chet was, which is not the issue of our discussion right now, but somehow Er acted inappropriately. As a result, Er passed away. And then we have, subsequently, the Torah says, Bayomi Yehuda la'onan. So then Yehuda tells the second brother, Bor leishas achicha v'yabim osa. Perform the mitzvah of Yibum. V'akim zera de'achicha. Vayeda onan ki lo lo ye azara. Onan knew that the children would not be his. V'hoya in bor leishas achiv v'shichi sa'atza l'bilti nesan zera la'achim. And although Onan essentially did not want to be miyabim Tamar. Why? Because he knew, ki lo lo ye azara, the children would not be his. The Torah, in effect, tells us in Sefer Dvarim, with reference to the Parsha of Yibum, v'haya ha-bechor asher teileg yokum ashim achiv ha-meis. And therefore, if Onan will have a child from Tamar, he will be called Hashem ha-meis. There'll be a tikkun for the neshama of Er. Therefore, Onan does not want that. Why? Because kina, jealousy. Kina, lo lahakim la'achiv shem. Not to give his brother, his deceased brother, an opportunity to remain in perpetuity. And that is motzi es einon min ha'ilam. He comes to a matzah where he's chayim isa. Vayera ve'ene Hashem asher osa, vayom es gam osa. The second element we mentioned in the Mishnah is taiva. That's also the shorish of the chet of Er. Er was the first one who married Tamar as a wife before Onan, and he was also the one who prevented her from becoming pregnant. Why didn't Er want that Tamar should become pregnant? So Rashi quotes here, "Kedesh shelo yismay yofya," in order that her beauty should not be impacted. Sometimes women, in the course of bearing children, so their physical appearance is impacted by having a child and going through the stages of having children. Of course, a person certainly has the right that his wife should be attractive, and she should be attractive, but this excessive element of tava that prevented him from having a child with her was motzi es er min ha'olam. And Chazal say, min ha'olam hazeh, actually, because he died before his time, he was punished. And he also lost Olam Haba because of his chet. After Er va'onan anichshal, and ayotzei min ha'olam because of what the Mishnah Pirkei Avos said, hakina v'hataiva, now we come to nisayon of kavod, with reference to Yehuda. Tamar is about to be led to Sreifa, because the Torah then goes on to describe what happened, that she dressed herself up because she's waiting, and Yehuda then consorts with her. And as a result, the Torah describes that Tamar becomes pregnant. And the Torah then says, he thought that, God forbid, she had been mezaneh, she had committed an act of adultery, V'gam hinei harod l'znunim, v'ayom Yehuda hotziyo v'sisara, she should be burnt. So what does she do? Yehuda had given her a kind of collateral, so she sent the collateral to her father-in-law, to Yehuda, saying, Leisha she'el lo anochi hara. That's how she became pregnant. And she did not want to embarrass her father-in-law. And she sends the chosemes, the psilim, the mate that he deposited with her, and she says, Leisha she'el lo anochi hara, haker no. She's ready. Chazal say in order. She didn't want to embarrass, God forbid, her father-in-law publicly. Yehuda could have said, me no see, me no know. Lo yodea, lo makir. But Yehuda rather is misgaber on the unbelievable humiliation and embarrassment, and his modet. Son can be many. That's not a simple matter. For a person to admit, to acknowledge that he did something, that's something that requires tremendous gvura. But Yehuda's ready to even weather the busha, the humiliation, the embarrassment, and to be mevater ala kovid hamadume. What seems to be kovid, he understands that kovid has absolutely no value. That God forbid, as a result of COVID, that Tamar should be burnt, Rachman Litzlan and her children. So Yehuda's omei b'nisoyin ha-kovid. He's mevater on COVID, and in effect, as a result, he's zochet to the real COVID. Namely, also shevim Yehuda mechokei ben raglov. COVID ha-malchus. He becomes the, from his loins emerge kingship and sovereignty of Klal Yisrael. So here we see, as a result of Kina and Taiva, people essentially yotzu mishnei olamos from olam hazeh olam haba, and Yehuda was zoche to malchus because he was mevater on kavod. We have another example of this mishnah as well in the personalities that are found also in the parsha, namely the story of Eshes Potiphar. The Torah tells us how she tries to entice Yosef Atzadik. Right after the story of Yehuda and Tamar, Rashi asks already, what is the juxtaposition? Why these two parshas juxtapose? The parsha of Yosef and Eshes Potiphar, the parsha of Tamar. Lomelecha says Rashi. Mazu l'shem shamayim, just like Tamar is l'shem shamayim. Abzu Eshes Potiphar l'shem shamayim. And Rashi quotes from the Medrash Chazal. She saw through her astrological horoscope, she'asida l'hamid boni mimeno. She knew she was going to have children from him. Is it going to be from, shall we say, from him or from her daughter? And that was. That reality came to fruition. Who emerged? Menashe Ephraim, except that came out of the daughter of Asnas, Eshes Yosef, below Mimena, not from her. And yet, despite the fact that both Tamar and Eshes Potiphar were Mechav L'Shem Shamayim, Rashi calls Tamar a Tzadekes. You might say that Davido Mebeis, and Eshes Potiphar, Rashi, in Perek Mem, here, Vayachad Var Me'elem, so Rashi comments that she's considered to be Arura. Rashi said, Lefisha Hugila, Osa Arura es Hatzalik Befikula Mudabebo, Hevi Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Suchanim Shaleilu, Sheifnu Aleim Velo Eilo, Veo Chetobo Harvacha Letzalik Ayodeh. So Rashi calls her Arura. Why? Apparently, the two personalities are not to be equated. Even though Rashi, as I mentioned, they both are considered to be L'Shem Shamayim, but apparently they're not completely on the same level. The L'Shem Shamayim of Tamar is a real, authentic L'Shem Shamayim. She wants to be kind of the mitzvah of Yibum, the way the Ramban explains over here, that prior to Matan Torah, Yibum was not only Ba'ach, not only with brothers, but also with other Krovim, with other relatives, and therefore, since Yehuda did not give Tamar to Shelah, the brother of her husband, so she attempted to be mekayem the mitzvah of Yibum through Yehuda himself. However, the Shem Shamayim of Eshes Potiphar is not totally authentic. Yes, it is true, she saw through her horoscope, through her astrological measures, that in effect, what she saw, but however, the reality is that in her case, it emanated from Tiberius Rose. And L'Shem Shamayim was only, shall we say, an aside. How do we know that the L'Shem Shamayim of Tamar is authentic and that of Eshet Potiphar is not authentic. The raya is because Tamar is ready lehisarif. She's ready to be burnt, to be immolated in a fire because of her Hashem Shamayim. He mutzeis v'yishoch al chami al emar. She's ready to go l'sreifa. And she sends to her father, l'isha sha'edu lo anochi hara. So Chazal say that she didn't want to lihalbin panav and to say, mimcha ani mu'beres. She didn't want to publicly say that you're the one who is responsible for my being pregnant. But what did she say? She said, Rashi quotes it, im yoda me'atzmo yoda. If Yehuda admits and acknowledges what happened, fine. V'im lav, she said, yisufuni v'alalbin es panav. I should be burnt rather than, God forbid, humiliate him. That's l'shem shamayim, someone who's ready l'hisarif al adobar, that she did not do. Because they were dano, kilu, she was mezana. Kilu, she committed adultery. And she didn't want to be malbim pnei Yehuda b'rabim for something that he had done. And Chazal, we know, learn out from here, noach lo l'adam, sheyapil atzatzmo l'tzol kivshon ha'esh, v'al yalbim pnei chaveh b'rabim. The Gemara says in Saita, the Gemara says in Perak Hazov above Metzia, that one should not embarrass someone publicly. There's a well-known machlokas of Rishonim. To we understand that Gemara Kipshuto is it to be taken literally, that really a person has a din of Yehori Vayavar when it comes to the Isa of Halbanas Panim, when it comes to not embarrassing someone, just as the three Averis that we know, the three cardinal sins that a person is obligated to give up his life for, the same applies to Halbanas Panim, because it's tantamount to Ritzicha. The Gemara explains in Baba Tzia, at the end of Azov, the Gemara says that first a person's face becomes red and then it turns white. And that's considered to be a kind of Ritzicha, that act of Halbanas Panim. So that's one approach, because it's one of the Gimel Mitzvahs Chamuros, namely Har Vayavar, it's akin to Ritzicha. Or do we assume, no, it's not to be taken literally, the Gemara. Of course, you should not embarrass someone, chas v'shalom, but we don't assume it's one of the gimel averos, one of the three cardinal sins that you have to give up your life for. It's only a kind of belitza. It's mashma that the Rambam subscribes to that position, because it doesn't bring this halacha together with the other three cardinal sins. And apparently the Meiri and Maseches Saita also has that position. However, there's Rabbeinu Yehuda that is found in the Shari Tshuva in the third shahr, and there's also Tesis in Saita and Afyud, that seem to indicate otherwise. Anyway, that is the position, of course, of Tamar, who acts L'shem Shamayim. But Eshes Potiphar, what is the nature of her L'shem Shamayim? She's ready to embarrass Yosef. She's ready to humiliate him on something that he did not know. He is Chaf Mi Pesha. He's totally innocent. And yet she's ready to hurl at him all kinds of, shall we say, accusations that he should be thrown into the slammer, as they call it, into the Beis HaSoar, and even perhaps Chas V'Sholom dies as a result of that. That the Shem Shamayim, therefore, Rashi calls it Arura. Rashi said that she is accursed. She's not someone, it's not the same L'Shem Shamayim. There's a lot of Taiva that's involved over here in her L'Shem Shamayim. It's a L'Shem Shamayim of a totally different nature. And I heard from my Rabbeim, from Rabbi Ruchim Gurelik, that he pointed out, he said once, and in this context we can use it actually, we know that the Pesukah Tezimra ends with essentially the end of Halleluka, which is Kol Haneshamot Halleluka, Kol Haneshamot Halleluka. So why is it repeated twice? The answer is because usually when something is, when we reach the end, so then we repeat it twice to accentuate the fact that it's over. Reach the end of the Zimra. So he said somewhat differently. He said, Kol Neshama Ta'al Elka Halleluka. Why is it said twice? Even the Neshama has to have a Neshama. Everyone has a Neshama. But sometimes even that Neshama is desiccated. That Neshama is, shall we say, dried out. That Neshama somehow is denuded of any of its vitality. And therefore, even the Neshama requires a Neshama. So too, Rav Gurelik argued that, again, everyone, what we all do is always the Shem Shamayim. Even the Shem Shamayim has to be the Shem Shamayim. And so here, the Shem Shamayim of, shall we say, Tamar was indeed the Shem Shamayim, Masha Enkein, the Shem Shamayim of Eshes Potiphar certainly left a lot to be desired. And we'll just end by referring to before Hanukkah, since Matisyahu Banav, who suddenly operated L'shem Shamayim. The Hashmonaim actually went and fought valiantly against the Assyrian Greeks. They did it. Again, Rashi and Dvarim has a comment. We're talking about 12 people. Rashi and Dvarim in Parshas Zos HaBrocha, in Perek Lamed Gimel, so Rashi notes in Pasuk Gidal, Baruch Hashem Chelo Ufual Yodav Tirtzeh, Mechatz Masayim Kova V'Mesana Min Yikumun. So there Rashi has a comment, and Rashi says that here the reference is to the Chashmonai Yibonim. Rosh Ha'asin Chashmonai Yibonim V'Ilochim M'Mavdi Chachamim V'Hispalo Aleihem. He was a spell for them. Lefi Shoyim Mu'atim Yud Beis Berei Chashmonai V'Alozer Kinegan Kamer Rebavos. There were 12 Chashmonaim and Alozer against myriads of enemies. L'kach Nema Baruch Hashem Chelo U'Fal Yodav Tirtzeh. So here we have 12 people who guard the Melchama against an entire army, a Syrian Greek army. Obviously, clearly, we're talking about people who are purely doing that which they did the Shem Shamayim. There's no taiva involved, there's no covet involved. And obviously, one would have thought that the Chashmonaim would have been, shall we say, trounced, to say the least, given the numbers that we're talking about. And what happened? The Chashmonaim, in effect, they were somech on the Ribbono Shel Olam, on Yad Hashem, and we say in the Baal Halisim as well, we point out that Chaloshim, they were basically weak people, even though they are described, in, shall we say, in terms of being individuals who are swashbuckling, all their exploits that are described in all the different, shall we say, episodes that are found in both Maccabim and Megillas Antiochus and the like. But Ubechozos, they were Chaloshim relative to the overwhelming numbers they were up against, as Rashi comments. And they clearly, obviously, operated L'shem Shamayim, and unquestionably the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them tremendous Yata D'Shemaya, and that's really what Chanukah is certainly all about. And therefore, we should be mispalel that Hashem Yisbarach should continue, just as He, Bayam Mahem Basman Azeh, just as He showed the Chashmonaim, Siyata D'Shemaya, in our own day and age, we should be Zoche Me'ein, the Or of Chanukah, and the Or of Hashem Yisbarach, that was present then, should continue to be present, Bizmaneinu Anu, V'ala Nisim, V'ala Purukam, V'ala Gvuros, V'ala Chuos, V'ala Mochamos, She'asis Al Voseinu, the way it was, Bayam Mahem, Alavai Hashem Shibim Zakaras, it should be as well by Yom HaZeh.